Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 is where we'll be looking at tonight. This is going to be tough because what just happened was I just got out preached by a girl. So so this is going to be hard tonight. But anyway, I really enjoyed that. Now you're going to have to come back for us and sing that, ain't you? I really enjoyed that. Y'all give her one more hand. I really do. I appreciated you coming and being here with us tonight. It greatly encourages me, Brother Carl, that somebody's still willing to step out and obey God and just do exactly what God has told him to do. So we appreciate you. We'll be praying for you. And I pray, I'm planning on having you back next year. And I hope that we can hear that many people have come to Christ. That's what we plan on, so we'll be praying for you. So Galatians chapter 3, let's just read the first 5 verses, okay? And we'll go through them pretty quick tonight. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians. Ain't that a good way to start out the sermon? Wouldn't that be good on Sunday? Stand up and say, O foolish, what do y'all want to be called? Hardinians, is that all right? Hard nights. I like that. All right, that's what we'll plan on Sunday. It's the topic of our sermon, O Foolish Hard Nights. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, there's another good word, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. He says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that's where we'll stop tonight. Now, I want you to notice those first 5 verses. Paul asked 6 questions. 6 questions that would be very easy not only for us to answer, but would be very easy for them to answer. And Paul is trying to prove a very simple point here tonight by asking these questions, and that is that justification or salvation comes by faith alone. And we'll get into that just in a second. But Paul's letter to the Galatians, we know, is what we call an apologetic letter. And that does not mean that Paul is saying sorry for anything. Apologetics is the study of defending and proving the truth. You have that class that most people take in seminary called apologetics. You learn how to defend the truth of basically God, of who God is. But what's interesting is Paul never went to seminary. And yet the Apostle Paul is the greatest apologetic preacher that the world has ever seen. Because although he didn't sit under great teachers, he did sit under the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, who was the greatest teacher. So Paul learned everything that he learned directly from Christ. So this is an apologetic letter. That means that he is defending something. He is defending the truth. You say, well, what truth is Paul defending? He is defending the greatest truth in church history. And it is this question. How are we saved? How do we get to God? How do we become righteous enough to please that holy God? He is defending that truth. And he says, this is how man is saved. There is only one way to be saved, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he basically starts out in chapter 1 and he says, any person that adds to that, or any person that subtracts from that, they're not just preaching something a little bit different, they're preaching a totally different gospel. It's either right or it's wrong. And he says, when you're adding something to the gospel of Christ, it's not just a little bit wrong, it's totally wrong. It is what we call a false gospel. And the Bible tells us false gospels have been planted by Satan himself. What is interesting is she's going about to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But when you think about that, Satan knows the Great Commission. So you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to take the false gospels to the end of the earth. So the Christian's commission is to take the gospel everywhere. So Satan is going to say, all right, well, here's what I'll do to combat that. Take some lies in order to bring something to mess up the gospel. And by the way, Satan hasn't stopped coming up with false gospels yet. They are everywhere around us today. not just in Africa or anywhere, they're in Gastonia. They're in Dallas. There are people proclaiming false gospels today. And sometimes Satan's so good at doing these false gospels, coming up with them, they have enough truth in them to where it sounds just like the real gospel. But it's really not. In 2011, you can look this up on YouTube, Oprah Winfrey. So let me just say something. All right. Amen. 2011, she had an interview, and I don't know how in the world on her talk show she got into religion. There's a lady that stood up there talking about religion. Apparently she found out she was a Christian. And Oprah looks at her and says, "So you're telling me that if there's a lady who lives 80 years and she's nice to everybody she meets, she's kind to her family, to her friends, to her co-workers, you're telling me that if that lady who loves everybody, who is kind to everybody, that lady doesn't receive Jesus, she can't go to heaven?" And the lady in the crowd said, "Well, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying." And Oprah threw up her hand and said, "Well, I can't talk to you anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore." You see, what happened to Oprah is what happened to the Galatians. She's been bewitched. She's been bewitched. Verse 1 said, "O foolish Galatians." That's the KJV, the King James Version. Let me throw in the JDV, the Justin Driver Version. I had to say that because some of y'all wouldn't have got it. "Oh, foolish Galatians," he says. Well, let me say something. "Oh, foolish Oprah." Oh, foolish Oprah, because somebody has told her a lie. And the lie was, you can get to God apart from Christ. And you know, it actually sounds not that bad. Do you realize how many people were deceived by what she said that day? There were probably 300, 400 people in the crowd. 300 people, 400, maybe 1,000 people watching on TV. And she said, "So you're telling me that if someone loves somebody and is kind to somebody, they go to hell?" Is the essence what she's saying. That sounds good. Because somebody that loves somebody and is kind to somebody all their life, we think they really don't deserve to go to hell. But Jesus said, kindness isn't the way to God. Love isn't the way to God. I'm the way to God. It doesn't matter how much you love somebody or how much you're kind to somebody. You ought to, but that does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." They're proclaiming a false message everywhere today. And you know, that's exactly what began to happen in Galatia, didn't it? The Judaizers, we've been talking about them, they came into the church of Galatia and they began preaching a false gospel. And the false gospel was this. They said, "Faith is good, you need that. But you must also keep the law in order to get to heaven. You must also do good works to get to heaven, to get to God." And that is what the Bible calls a false gospel. Because Paul comes in and he begins to proclaim, listen, the fact is, salvation isn't faith plus works. Salvation is faith, is by grace through faith alone. Salvation isn't something that we earn. Salvation is something that God gives as a free gift. And I don't know about you, but that's why it's called good news. Because there's nothing we could do to inherit it, nothing we could be good enough to get it. God says, "But by my grace, I'll give it anyway." Man, what an awesome, awesome thing that is. The gift of God's grace. And that's why Paul writes this letter. He says, justification, which means salvation in essence, being saved, being righteous. He says it only comes as a gift from God through faith alone. And they preach something different. Now we've completed the first two chapters. And then these chapters, what Paul does is he defended himself as an apostle. And he said, an apostle is one who has seen the resurrected Christ, one who has been taught by Christ, and one who has been sent by Christ. In chapters 1 and 2, he said, I've seen Christ, I've been taught by Christ, and I've been sent by Christ. Thus, I am a real apostle, unlike the Judaizers. When we get to chapter 3, which is here tonight, Paul totally switches gears. He says, all right, I'm no longer going to defend myself as an apostle because I've already proved that. What I am going to prove is the doctrine that I preach as an apostle. And that doctrine is justification comes by faith alone. The only way to be saved, the only way to get to God, the only way to be justified and made righteous is by faith. And that's what Paul says throughout the letter of Galatians. So in chapter 3 and 4, Paul is going to prove that. So we're going to have a few parts to this sermon, justification by faith, proven. Now when you go to court, I don't know if any of you have ever been to court, you're trying to prove the truth. And when you're trying to bring out the truth, you must have evidence to prove the truth, right? So when Paul is trying to prove the truth that you are justified by faith, they're saying, well, where's the evidence? Chapter 3 and 4 is the evidence. And he gives about five or six things of the evidence that man can only, the only possible way is through faith. And the first thing that I want you to see tonight is the first evidence he brings out is the Galatians' own experience. He says, your own experience teaches you and me that you can only be saved through faith. And that's what the first five verses are about. Let's go through them real quick. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, listen to this, Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. So the first thing that I want you to see tonight is the reception of the Son in verse number 1. Now Paul very rarely, if ever, uses personal experiences to prove a point. You say, why is that? Because personal experiences are different for everybody. But listen, when it comes to salvation, if you got the biblical salvation, it's not different for everybody, it's the same for everybody. Everybody gets saved one way. You say, well, how is that? Well, the Bible teaches this. One day you heard the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One day you heard the gospel, and one day the Spirit of God made that gospel real to you. He convicted your heart, showed you were a sinner, showed you needed Christ. He called you and said, I want you. And on that day you said, well, I want you. And you received Christ as your Savior. If you got saved, that's what happened. You heard the gospel, the Spirit of God convicted you, and you said, I received Christ. If you got saved the right way, that's exactly what happened according to the Bible. And I don't know if any of you can remember that. But when that happened to you, I just remember the freedom that came over me. There's freedom that comes in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's exactly what Paul is trying to get them to understand in verse 1. Look at what he says. He says, before your eyes, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. That word evidently set forth is the same word we get from billboard. So Paul says, before your eyes, I put Jesus Christ on a billboard, crucified among you. I came to you and I preached Christ and I said, Him crucified is the only way to be saved. Him crucified is the only way to get to God. Him crucified is the only way to get to heaven. He said, you heard the gospel, and it was very clear. And then what happened was they received the gospel, they believed the gospel, and they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved. And Paul is saying in verse 1, do you not remember the moment you trusted Christ, and there was just a burden lifted off of you, and you were set free? He says, do you not remember that? I don't know about if you can remember that. It's okay if you can't. Some of you, it might have been 50 years ago. For me, it was, how old am I? I'm 20-something. 26? I'm 26. It's going to be a long life if I can't even remember that. 14 years ago, Brother Johnny, February the 21st, 2006. Now, I was 12 years old, Brother Carl. It wasn't like I was already out in this world doing everything the world had to offer. 12-year-olds ain't that bad. But you know, that day when the Holy Spirit came to me and said, you're a sinner, there was a tremendous burden on me. And before I got off that bus, I walked up to my teacher and I said, I must receive Christ today. There's nothing else that I can do. I can't even step off this bus unless I get saved today. And when I received Christ in my heart, you know what happened? For some reason, that burden just got lifted. Because you know what happens? Christ takes our burdens. And even though I wasn't the worst sinner in the world, I was a sinner. And that sin was on my shoulders, but that day when I said, Christ, I trust you, I love you, and I want you, He lifted that burden of sin right off of me. And Paul is trying to say that. He's saying, don't you remember? This was only a few months ago, church. He's talking to the Galatians. You trusted Christ, and I saw the look on your face. What a freedom that brought. Now let me ask you a question. Why did that freedom come to me? But was it because I went to Sunday school that Sunday? Was it because I had memorized in my mind John 3:16? Or was it because I said, Christ, I receive you today? And Paul is saying, that's the same way with you. Your freedom, your salvation didn't come because you went to church Sunday, because you did a good deed at work on Monday. That freedom came to you because you asked Christ to save your soul. And he said, that is proof right there that justification does not come through what you do. It comes through trusting Christ. So there's the first proof right there, was their reception of the Savior brought freedom. The next thing that I want you to see is their receiving of the Spirit. You're going to see the Trinity tonight in these first five verses, which I think is cool. But anyway, verse 1 says they've done all this, but now Satan, through the Judaizers, has bewitched them and told them a lie and said, now you need more than Christ to be free. You need more than Christ for salvation. You need works. And when Paul gets to verse number 2, this should have sent the Judaizers running to another town and said, well, we can't compete with this guy. Paul says, all right, let's settle this question. This is the only thing that I want to learn from you. Now, I used to hate it when my parents used to look at me and say that. Let me ask you one question. And I knew I was doomed. Because whatever the question was, if I answered it either way, you know. And that's what exactly Paul's doing here. He says, this is the only thing I want to know. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's the only question I want you to answer, Galatians. How did you receive the Spirit? When you were keeping the law, or when you heard the gospel and trusted in it by faith? That's the question that he brings out to the Galatians. And you know, that is an easy answer for them. That's why he presented it. You know what they would say? They would say, well, the Spirit came to live on the inside of us when we heard you preach the gospel and we received Christ by faith. It was then the Spirit came. And Paul says, ding, ding, ding. Because he's saying if God put His life in you, that is what God does when He sends the Holy Spirit. It is His life in you. And he says if God literally did that to you because of your faith, why do you think you need to do more to be accepted by God? If you trusted by God, just you trusted Him, and He sent the Holy Spirit because you trusted Him, why do you think you need to do more to please God? Because you see, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, you know what that's God saying? You're mine. The Spirit of God is God saying, you are mine. Romans 8:9 says this, if any man have not the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Flip it. If any man has the Spirit of Christ, he is His. You know what Paul's saying? You receive the Spirit, so let me tell you something, my friends. You're His. You're saved. See, how do I know I received the Spirit? Ephesians 1 says when you trust in the gospel, you trust in Christ, that moment the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. That's how. When you trust in the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Paul is saying, there's nothing else you can do to that, my friends. There's nothing else you can add to that to please God. Now, this is where it gets pretty interesting, actually. Because there are actually still some denominations. I'm not going to mention it. You can ask me after if you want to. Some of you might get mad. There are still some denominations in this town that preach you can be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can be a Christian but just not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. This is what they teach. They teach you are converted. Well, first of all, how in the world can you get converted without the Spirit of God? That was just one sentence. They teach you're converted, then you're sanctified. In other words, you just become better in your life, the way you live. And then once you become holy enough in your life, that's when the Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. In other words, you're converted, sanctified. Once you're good enough, that's when the Spirit says, all right, here I come. And let me ask them a question. How in the world do they think they're going to become holy without the Holy Spirit? I about kick my shoe to the roof. How in the world can a person become a person who is considered a holy life, who lived a holy life? How do you think you can do that apart from the Holy Spirit? It is 100% impossible to be holy without the Holy Spirit. So, Paul says, it is impossible to be a Christian and not possess the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's what he says. He is none of his. So Paul is teaching right there. He says, listen, you received the Son, it brought freedom. That teaches you that faith saves you. You received the Spirit the moment you trusted by faith. He says that teaches you. You don't have to do more to be accepted by God if He sent the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful for the testimony of the Holy Spirit within me. Because it is He that makes us know that we are God's children. Third thing I want you to see, and I'm done. It's 8:01. Carol, you getting hungry? Oh, okay. He's good. The next thing is the recognition of the Father. And what's cool about the first five verses is that you literally see the Trinity in it. Because the He in verse 5 is God the Father. Verse 5. He, which is God, that ministers or supplies to you the Spirit. In other words, He who gives you the Spirit, that is God. And works miracles among you, that is God. Does He do it because of the works of the law or because of your faith? Paul says, He that gave you the Spirit, why did He do it? Because you kept the law or you trusted Christ. Another easy answer. He gave you the Spirit because you trusted Christ. But what's cool about the miracle part is we've studied the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can study those and see the miracles Jesus performed in them. And my soul, there's a lot of miracles. And John said, by the way, that's not even a tenth of them. He said, I couldn't even write half of the stuff Jesus did because the books of the world couldn't contain it. So we don't even know half the stuff Jesus did. We just know some of it in the four Gospels. And He did a lot of miracles, didn't He? Now let me ask you this question. Before Jesus performed His miracles, did He ever look at the person and say, have you kept the law? If not, I can't heal you. Did Jesus ever look at somebody and say, are you good enough today? If not, sorry, I can't heal you today. But you know what He did say? I want you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew 9, and this is where we're going to finish. Jesus never said, have you kept the law? If not, I can't heal you. Jesus never said, have you been good enough? If not, I can't heal you. But in Matthew 9, it's pretty interesting. Matthew 9, verse 27 through 30. Matthew 9, verse 27 through 30. Listen to this. And when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him crying and saying, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He, Jesus, was come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, yes, Lord. And then He touched their eyes and said, according to your works be it unto you. If that's your Bible, I got a trash can over here. Then He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say, have you kept the law, my friend? If not, I can't heal. You know what He said? He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He said, you better believe it. And He said, well, fine. Because you've believed. And my soul, what a first face to see is the face of the Son of God. You know what that's a picture of? That is a picture not only just of physical healing, it's a picture of how you get spiritually healed. How you get healed from your sickness called sin. Jesus never walks up to a person and says, have you been good enough your life? if you hadn't been good enough, I'm sorry. This salvation thing isn't for you. But Jesus asked, do you believe that I'm able to save you? And what a gift it is when you say, yes, Lord. And He says, well, good. Because I'll save you. That's a picture right there of exactly what our salvation is. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe that He rose from the dead? But do you believe that He is able to save your soul? And Jesus says, if you do, I'll save you. And I'll give you eternal life. What a joy it is today to know that as we walk out of this church tonight, God's not looking at us and saying, you got to be good enough, son. You got to be good enough, daughter. He's saying, my son was already good enough for you. And all you've got to do is trust in His finished work. Paul just proved it in the first 5 verses, and he's going to continue to prove it throughout chapter 3. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And I thank You, Lord, that You haven't put a burden on us that man wants to put on us. But God, Jesus said, my burden is light. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. Thank You that we who trust in Christ, we have eternal life. And we don't have to doubt it because You promised that whosoever believeth in Him has everlasting life. So Lord, we hold You to Your promise tonight that those who trust in You and are born again will live forever with You. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well,